Welcome to Lazy with Gumption, episode 210, Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Any Dust, I don't know, Ashes to Ashes. We are Lazy with Gumption, we recap DCTV in a flash. You can contact us, I'm here with, not me and myself, but I have people, I have friends. I'm here
with May.
And Tatiana.
And you can reach out to all of us via Twitter at DCTVGumption, where we live tweet. Send us your feedback, ladieswgumption@gmail.com, or ask on ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. Thank you for listening to us wherever, whatever podcast app works best for you. Special shout out to those of you that support us on Patreon. For $10 a month, you get our catalog of episodes, not just the DCTV universe, but a lot of other premium shows on from HBO Max shows to Netflix series, Hulu, Disney Plus, all those other like MCU, Star Wars. We recently did You. We've done a lot of like the movies. So if you have like the big movies that are coming out, we did Last of Us, so a lot of stuff going on over there that you can check out at patreon.com/cctvgumption. In the news, Titans aired their last episode, so now they have officially ended. Titans has officially ended, so that is one other DCTV show down in books, and two more are on the bubble. So for the CW, we have Superman and Lois and Gotham Knights that are awaiting on whether they'll be renewed or not. And there's a lot of speculation and chatter coming from the whoever the new owners of the CW are. They axed a lot of scripted shows. I think they're trying to move to more reality TV kind of circuit. But apparently the head honcho wants to keep at least one DC show. So between Superman and Lois and Gotham Knights, you have one that is, you know, a luxury premium show, and you have another one that I guess is on a Dollar General budget, because it's looking like, if I mean, we did the pilot for Gotham Knights, we reviewed it. I said that it was not, I am not the audience for this show, but the show could survive if it's cheap to make, which it seems like it is, especially compared to Superman and Lois. And Superman and Lois will be up to the mercy of going to HBO Max, possibly, and it could still live on there. Although I'm not sure who's responsible for that decision, because I don't think it would be the CW. Like, CW could say, we don't want it on our network, but they can't, like, make it go to HBO Max. So,
yeah. Thoughts? I mean, they could do what they did with, was it the Walker prequel, like the Walker Independence or whatever, in which they're like shopping it around to other networks.
I see. I
feel like ideally Superman and Lois would go to HBO Max just because it's owned by WB.
Right, that would make no sense.
What was that, Jess?
Would HBO Max take it, or Max as it seemed to be called?
I don't feel like they will. Now, just because all they've been doing is trying to, you know, cut costs or whatever. So I don't think that they would, especially since they had like the opportunity to renew Doom Patrol and Titans, and they didn't.
Right. So basically Superman and Lois is probably done for.
Which, I mean, looking at it now, like, other than the cost, it's a shame, because like, it is a better written show than Gotham Knights, and it appeals to more people because it's Superman. So I think it's kind of like a dumb decision, because at least they would have guaranteed more ratings with Superman and Lois, probably. But I don't know what they're trying to do, because even I think they've also cut like a lot of CBS stations in some major cities have cut the CW for next season, so they're not even airing anything. So I don't know. It's truly the end.
Tati, you have any thoughts to add?
No, other than this, it just feels like it has been painful and long and drawn out, but it probably was this long and drawn out when UPN was axed, and you know, WB became CW. It's just that there was a future, and there was hope there, and there were still interesting things being aired. And now I'm like, I definitely don't want to just watch Canadian exports that I could watch somewhere else. So, the end.
So, we'll see. Anywho, leading back to what we have now with The Flash, we are so close to the end. This is part two of the four-part series finale. The format is the same as always. We go over joys, what did not bring joy. I will share your feedback, which we did get quite a bit of feedback this week, so that's great. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. And then we will discuss any kind of predictions and crown a lady with gumption of the week. Tati is our host this week, and she's going to take us through the plot.
If I remember what happened, I certainly will. Thankfully, this was a Flash. It's not thankfully, but this was a Flash without the Flash, so that cuts out one plot. While Barry was doing the things he was doing last week, in part two, we check back in at the home of Central City, where everyone is wondering what Barry is doing and what the heck is going on here. So, the Team Flash find themselves in danger from the negative speed force, the blue, the cobalt isotope, all manner of mysterious things. And for some reason, Cecile just has everyone's number and is everyone's best friend. So she like calls Mark back to help them. And Mark is suddenly large and in charge. And he's totally ready to figure out who is behind what and how they're going to get Barry back and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he's like being real weird, except not weird enough that I noticed that anything was different for the majority of the episode. First he's like, yeah, we're definitely going to figure all this out. And then later he's like, you know what? Barry's gone. Let's not even worry about Barry. We tried. We gave up. It's over. We just had to focus on ourselves now. I was like, okay. Iris is still super pregnant and now she's super stressed. So Allegra's like, I'm gonna get you some water or tea or something, whatever. Like, stay in your office, be safe, and I'm gonna go get you something. Except I was immediately zapped by cobalt isotope energy. Just as Taylor, who is now also everyone's best friend, but is very yelly about it. She just, like, yells at everyone in a comforting way, I suppose. And then that other dude, whose name I can't remember, they get zapped, but, like, by gas. Like, not the cobalt isotope. So when Keown shows up, she is able to turn them into plant people so that they can breathe, and then they are revived and are horrified that they are plant people. I would have thought, if I had woken up like that, I would have thought that I was the Hulk now, but they did not think that, I guess. They understood that.
Different universe. Yeah.
So that happens, and then Mark, like, turns on her, and suddenly he's like, oh, you're an abomination, Caitlin. You're the absolute worst. Not Caitlin, I'm so sorry. Keown. You're the worst. And then Keown's like, oh, I'm so sad. And then Mark's eyes, like, flash blue, and you're like, oh, it's because he's Cobalt Mark. That's the difference. That's what's weird. She can't revive Allegra for now, though, because Allegra's, like, a natural cause, and Keown can only expel unnatural causes. Not natural causes. Okay, good to know. So they take her to the med bay in Star Labs. I'm trying to remember what else happens. At some point, Keown is, like, transported to the Speed Force. Nora is there. And Speed Force Nora is like, you know what you are, Keown. And Keown's like, I do. I am the Avatar, the last airbender. So she comes back, and she's like, guys, it turns out I can manipulate all elements. All elements. Everything in the world can be controlled by me, and I'm using this to destroy. We thought that she had killed Mark, and for 2 seconds I was like, this is so amazing that she just did that, but no. She just turns him into fucking literal dirt so that she can remove his cobalt crystal thing, and then reforms him, and that worked. So why doesn't she go, I don't know, reform Ronnie or be useful in some other way? I don't know. But she's like, now she's going to go on some, like, climate change mission in the future. But for now, she will stick around to help us stop whatever is going on. In the meantime, Iris has been told to, like, lock herself in the time vault because, again, super pregnant and also, like, not allowed to be part of the plot in significant ways. But she does get a great scene where she's talking, like, she asks Gideon to project the wedding picture so she can, like, leave a telepathic message for Barry, or I guess it will actually be recorded, but, you know, he's not there to listen to it at the moment, about how she's gonna be strong, but she has to have faith that he comes back. And it, like, happens, like, at the time that he is fighting Joe, so I guess we can be like, oh, she helped him have the power to stop Cobalt Joe. So that is beautiful, and we continue to love Iris. So then she goes into labor, and Cecile is just really busy feeling things. As long as you are experiencing very loud emotions that everyone could notice from you at first glance, Cecile will be the first one to tell you that you feel that way. And that is officially the only way that you can actually diagnose feelings. So thankfully, we know that Iris is very stressed about the fact that she's going to give birth, but also very happy that she's going to give birth. And just feeling a lot of wild emotions. But whatever. Yay, Barry comes back at, like, almost the exact time necessary to take Iris to the hospital. And then they have a nice little moment together. And then he has to go again. So I don't know where he's going to. And neither does Keown, who can no longer feel him on Earth, or this moment of Earth, or whatever. So Keown is also going to be feeling things, but in a less annoying way than Cecile. So that's great. What else? Oh, right, I totally forgot about the Eddie part. In the meantime, Malcolm Gilmore, for some reason, is in 2049, which I did not realize it was 2049 at first. I was very confused. And he has received the documents, like, about Eddie's death, or whatever it was. So he's, like, off for answers. He goes to the police force. He sees a photo of himself on the wall. Not a lot of other photos, even though I'm sure many other people have died, but whatever. And then he goes to speak to this person who is not, I can't remember her name, Korber?
Korber.
Yeah. Who, like, I guess is, like, randomly relevant, but also does not look any older than she did in previous episodes. So again, I was not clear what was happening, and she is also somehow old enough to remember when she was, like, 12, and it was her first day on the job, and Eddie was real nice to her. So I was like, okay, sure. And at some point, he also goes to CCP Media, whatever, and the fuck it's called, to Iris's office that looks also identical, and there's no family photos, there's no indication that Iris has aged in this time, and Taylor is there, and I didn't realize she had gray hair at the time, but I guess she does have gray hair. So I didn't notice that either. So I was seriously like, is this happening literally, like, simultaneously? Is no one telling them that Eddie is here? Anyway, so he just wants everyone to explain to him who Eddie is and, like, how he died and what is the connection to Iris and whoever else, and no one will help him. So eventually he just decides he's going to dig up his own grave. Or not his own grave, Eddie's grave, whatever, we don't know. And as he's digging, he's also having the flashbacks of all of Eddie's life. And the corporate lady is there being like, don't do this! So yeah, and then in the end he just decides, I am Eddie, and the proof is that my body is not in this coffin, even though my body was taken by Singularity, so of course it would not be in the coffin. And also, I am currently still bleeding from the wound that I inflicted, that was inflicted on me 40 years ago. So, okay, I guess that the proof is in the pudding. That is obviously Eddie. Case closed. What brought Joy?
I think that, first of all, I have to go back and talk about last week, because there's a big joy from last week that I just completely forgot about, and that was the music choices. I loved how they took the themes, reconnected it to the, you know, the season one and kind of, like, built on them. So there's really, really cool and really, and this, I hardly ever notice music. Like, I am not aware like that when I'm watching episodes. Usually, like, Mae will bring it up. I'll be like, oh yeah, okay. But I was very in tune to that. And it was, like, one of the things that really sparked joy. Not as much music choices in this episode. But I wanted to make sure to say that about last week, because that was great. I kind of enjoyed the, I was also confused, because I was like, Harpo, who this lady? Like, Korber, I was like, who are you? And because especially, like, when you first see her, like, there's a camera zoom, so you know that she's important. But I'm like, I don't know who this lady is. And I'm sure that if you went back to season one, or if you just watched season one religiously, she was probably there as some rookie cop in the background. And that's supposed to mean something to us now that she's the captain. But I was just like, what happened to Kramer? Like, who is this lady? Why is she in her office? And I was like, oh, wait, we're in 2049. I was like, there's no way that she could have been there. It's like, I guess that was like 30 years ago. So if she was like 20, she should be 50 now. I'm like, she aged really well for a white lady. So once I got on track with that, I thought it was, you know, really interesting having him try to piece together his confusion about, like, why does this person look like him? I thought it was, you know, like, everybody in the precinct, like, looking like they'd seen a ghost. That was pretty interesting. Like, him going to CC, like, he's trying to, like, figure stuff out, going to CC Media, remembering flashes of Iris. I do agree with you that now that you said it, it is weird that there's no, I don't even know if there was like a picture of her and Barry. So I was like trying to wait and see when he would see that the girl in his mind is married to someone else and has kids and all that stuff. But he saw like her and Joe and the same. Okay. Anyway, going off topic. But like interacting with CCPD and now CC Media and trying to figure out like who he is and how all that kind of built up to him in the graveyard and this dramatic reveal that he is Eddie, Singularity Eddie, and you know, now he is awake and now he can kind of put together everything that happened in his without him, and Barry swooping in and marrying Iris and having the life that he probably thinks that he should have. So that sets it up for really good for the next episode, hopefully we'll get to see Petty Eddie. So I thought that all that was good. On the Iris side, I liked her heavily pregnant. Like that was still, yeah, tons of heavy pregnant Iris. That was great. But her leading the charge to find Barry, I think this episode also gave her space for her emotions, and not just space for her emotions, but people to comfort her and back her up on her emotions, which we hardly ever get. I know that there's like a thing that she's always suffering and in pain and things like that. And that is like a fair criticism that they always have her in these kind of plots. But usually when she's in those plots, she's usually in them alone a lot of the time. So this was good. Like her scene with Allegra when they're talking about she found the article, crisis article, and now is like, you know, I thought I was done with this. Here it is again. And Allegra kind of brought it back to when she first started with Iris at CC Media and how Iris has mentored her and helped her to grow, and that she was going to support Iris in the same way that Iris supported her. I thought that was really nice. And then again, you have another scene in the time vault when she's with Cecile and kind of talking about her feelings and her anxiety about everything and getting support from Cecile. And then you have Chester, who is the kind of action man in her right hand. You know, Barry's not there and she's trying to figure out what to do, and Chester's already there, like, I've already gone and I've done ABC, I'm working on this, I'm moving things along. It felt like the team was working in concert together. And then Mark. I like that when Iris was in danger, that Speed Force Nora just like showed up and was like, keep your hands off my Iris. So that was really nice that she was able to come in and save the day, and in lieu of Barry being able to come in and save her. Very glad that Barry came back at the last second. Oh, I did think that the parallel of her talking to the only photo of them they have together is that wedding photo. But I like that parallel of her talking and showing that it was happening at the same time that Barry was thinking about her. So they were kind of like connected across timelines and you know, defeated the villain together. It was really great. And then he was able to come back right in time. And her whole, like, you know, he was like, right now? And she's like, yeah, we're having a baby. Like, that was super cute. And him helping her in the hospital, all that kind of stuff. Kyon turning Mark to dust, I thought was very dramatic. But it was also kind of cool because she was like, I'm not going to kill my friend. She's, you know, Cobalt Mark was making this big deal about, you're going to have to kill him. She's like, I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to remove the thing. And then removing that thing was like, I have to take you apart to do that. I was not expecting that. That was like really funny. And putting him back together. So that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with most of this. I really liked the callback to Crisis, like seeing the article again, thinking that she like deleted it because Barry's never going to disappear again, thinking that they could, you know, have a different life for Nora together than before. Because I feel like that's been a constant worry, be it whether, you know, Barry was going to vanish. Barry was always going to believably vanish in Crisis, but that didn't happen. But that's always been like in the back of their minds and things like that. So to see that come back and for her to worry about it, it's like very real and very stressful for her. But I really like the fact that Allegra was there for her and kind of like bringing back up about her being harsh about her writing that article originally back in season 6. But offering to be there for her and kind of give her hope. And the same with Cecile, because I feel like Cecile's never there for Iris. So it was really nice that she was actually, you know, just sitting with her instead of having Iris sit alone in the time vault, because that could have been a thing. But just Cecile being there for her as well and kind of providing her hope that he always comes back and everyone's like, he's always going to come back. And she's just like, I just want to be happy. It was so sad. But you're right, like the support for her was really great. Iris leaving a voice note for Barry for his ears only to listen to, and you know, kind of repeating the whole like we always find a way back to each other, and having that moment connect back to last episode when Barry defeated Cobalt Joe was great, and it kind of like solidified their connection once again. All of the Eddie drama was a fabulous. I was also confused about the 2049 thing because I'd forgotten, and I was like, this is, I was also wondering where Kramer was and like how much had changed, but I guess like he sped back because that was not really clear later on, or no, was he still in 2049 at the end, whatever. But all that stuff with him was great, kind of like being haunted by the voice of like, find her, you know. I'm like, oh, is this Iris that he needs to go find? All of that was great, and I thought the build up towards him discovering that he was not actually Malcolm Gilmore but Eddie Thawne himself was great. Even though it's so funny when people dig up like 6 feet worth of dirt with their hands really quickly. But, you know, and like the drama of, you know, having an empty grave, even though we all know it was going to be empty anyway, was really great, because for him, it's just like, oh my God, he's not here. And that's me. And then kind of having the bullet re-manifest itself was a very dramatic moment. I loved it. And it really sets up like what's coming up next. And I'm like very ready for Bad Eddie. And then Iris going into labor, I probably like an unpopular opinion, but with sci-fi shows, I always feel like there's drama to be had with pregnancies and things like that. And they're going to make it the most dramatic thing ever. But at least we did get like a moment of Barry actually showing up before she gets to go to an actual hospital and not have to give birth in Star Labs. And that he was there for her, like, and she was so happy that he was there too. It's like, you know, I wish I could have been there for you, and now he's back home. And that little cute, I think was the unscripted kiss that they had in the room was super cute as well. Just kind of getting them back on the same page, even though it only lasted very briefly. What else? I did love the fact that just in general, Iris got to express her fears and worry and things like that, and that she got to worry. It's always lovely to hear what she's thinking and what she's feeling. And then seeing Speed Force Nora again, having her come rescue Iris, having her like come back in a way where we know she's affected by what's happening with Cobalt Blue or the cobalt isotopes at this point. And then with Kiyona was like finally having answers with regards to like what she can actually do. We sort of always knew this, but like seeing the extent of what she can do was really interesting. And like I did think that the actor who plays Mark did get a few interesting scenes to work with, because he got to be like sort of good guy pretending to, you know, to be at first, and then turning against everyone in a way that like you're like, what the fuck, like I don't even like you, but I'm realizing that that was not him and that he was possessed by the cobalt isotope was kind of like fun for a little bit. So yeah, it was a decent episode overall.
Y'all were much more generous than I am. But what did I like? I did love all of Iris's scenes. I thought Candace did a great job kind of towing that line between like being really concerned about finding Barry, but also knowing that she has to push forward on whatever happens. I did also really like that scene with Allegra, even though Allegra did not get to follow through with it because then she was knocked out for the episode. But yeah, I thought that that was a very sweet moment that calls back to their dynamic, how they started, and what Iris has done for other people on her own. I thought that Rick Kaufman did do a great job of just being like wild-eyed, not knowing what is going on, determined to like uncover his life or whatever. And I definitely am looking forward to seeing him being an evil version of Eddie, or just whatever, just an evil version of whatever on the Flash. That is fun. Keon's powers looked cool, so I thought that they, you know, I guess they were conserving their budget to be able to give us some flashes of CGI stuff in this final arc. So that is good. I appreciate that. I think that Mark. His little moment where he was like, oh yeah, you're an abomination, whatever, was interesting. I definitely, at that moment, I was like, oh yeah, I mean, he could be saying that because whatever, he loves her and he must let her go because she's too good for him, or he could just be Cobalt Blue things, and that worked either way, and then he was Cobalt Blue things, and that's fine. Also the moment where he got turned to dust was also fun. And the fact that Barry came back, obviously very happy about that. And he got a moment with Iris before he was sent off again. And that Iris is having a baby in a real hospital and not in Star Labs with no more doctor. So that is also great. All right, what did not spark joy?
Like, Cecile, Mark needed a friend and he called Cecile, like, really? I'm still trying to figure out, I guess.
That was
like,
so ridiculous.
Post episode, was that like, did Cobalt Mark call up Cecile to try and get in with, like, and the fact that she's like, yeah, he just needed a friend, like, this, there is no white man that's safe around this heifer. Like, she's after Barry, now she's got her eye on Mark. I don't even know, it's the way that they kind of set that up, it was just to give her some weight, or give him some weight to the story that's not connected to Fionn, and it's just not believable. I just don't believe it. Yeah, that, I thought that was kind of like a weird setup. The whole, I think they did, the actor that played Mark, I think they did him dirty, because it's like the likability meter is already so low for you. And the fact that we did this kind of, you know, reveal secrecy, like him doing shitty stuff and us not knowing if that's like the real him or not, did not do him any favors. Like, it was kind of like my rant to you guys as I was watching it is like, what the fuck is his problem? Why can't he just be fucking normal? Because it's like every time that he is with Keon, he is complaining about something about her. And now, like, he just came back and is like, I'm healed. And she's like, I miss you. And then she saves two people's lives. He's like, you're an abomination. How could you? You hurt people. It was torture. Like, torture. Like, be fucking for real, Mark. Like, see. And then when his eye starts, it was like, okay, Got it. Now we have course corrected into what is actually going on. I did, like, I had, like, a thought, like, when Allegra was like, oh, hey, obviously that was supposed to be someone that we know, and then they get, like, zapped, so you know that someone in the group was like, it's probably fucking Mark. But I also feel like her, and I know, like, Kayla was probably trying to, you know, you have to sell it like it's someone that we know, but she was, like, extra cheerful, and I don't think anyone is that cheerful to see Mark. That threw me off just a tad, I guess. Which made the reveal, like, okay, now I'm on track with what we're going on here. But yeah, they also did something stupid. I think it's stupid when villains, like, give away their whole plan or whatever. The fact that he went back to the loft or Caitlin's apartment to wait for Kion, and then was like, you can't kill me. As long as I have this, shows the blue thing in my hand. I'm like, why would you show her that? That just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, as much as, like, there are some things that worked with him, and I think it probably worked because of the actor, mostly. But to have him out for several episodes and him leaving on such a bad note, like, we already hate him, and then you bring him back to play a dubious character, that we still hate. what was the goal there? Like, what were we trying to do? I don't know. Oh, there's also something that Swaro probably mentioned in his review, because he mentioned it on Twitter as well. When Cobalt Mark confronts Iris, and, you know, she's like, you're negative speed force, and he makes a reference to, like, gutting her like a fish and killing, like, her baby. And we also got to ask about that too. It's like, someone needs to check on Kristen Kim and tell her why was that necessary to put that kind of line in there. And I agree. I think that was really graphic and unnecessary. And you could get across the point of, I'm going to erase the entire Allen family without such a graphic description of that. So that was not necessary. What else? I guess going back to Cecile and her love for anybody that is not Joe. You know, at, like, the hospital, like, and her announcing to the world that a pregnant woman is distressed. and obvious things that people should know. I don't really know what her, other than being there to have be the Joe. And why the fuck is Joe not at the hospital to welcome his first grandchild? Like, that does not make any sense. But yeah, I was gonna say that I don't know what Cecile's purpose was, other than to take call from Mark and to sit and listen to Iris, because Joe couldn't be there. I also don't know, because we know from spoilers that apparently that she's supposed to get a suit. And other than her affinity for leather, I don't understand. There's no kind of story arc of why she would have a suit by the finale. For Allegra, yes, because Allegra has a boyfriend in tech that loves her and wants to make her a suit. I get that story. I'm expecting to see that. But there's none, like, ever since, like, episode 5, when Cecile had her big, you know, hero debut or whatever, there's been nothing about her and her powers or her story that would make sense for her to be like, no, I'm a superhero too, in my super suit. So I think that doesn't make sense, and I think I'm even more annoyed knowing that's gonna happen when we don't have any kind of, like, background or need for it, really. And the fact that we get Barry and then we lose Barry again, while Iris is going through labor. And even probably, like, I saw some people talking about on Twitter, in which I kind of agree. And I know that it was set up, but, like, him hanging out with the team in the hallway with his wife, is, like, in the room, like, I don't know. Some weird positioning to set up stuff.
Yes, I agree. I think that with Cecile, she was the last person mentioned. I think it's like underwhelming because she did say that she was going to stick around in Central City because of her powers and she wants to help people, but she's done no helping for several episodes. Like, if I feel like if we'd seen her growing her powers,
something was off of Mark.
Right, exactly. And I feel like if we'd had episodes showing her power grow or like experimenting with what she can do, I would find it more believable that she is, you know, supposedly the most powerful meta in Central City or whatever, which I don't buy, because so far all she's done and continuously done is just like be invasive when it comes to people's feelings. So that's just whatever. It's just like a general dislike. I agree about the line with regards to what Mark said to Iris, because I feel like it was really harsh and unnecessary, and I feel like this show is always talked about as being like a family show, but at the same time it has the issue with what I think is just a general media issue in which we can show violence, we can say violent things to people, we can physically show violence, like somebody being murdered and things like that, but we can't show people, you know, being in love, we can't show sex, we can't show happiness, but we can show all of that stuff. And I think that's just ridiculous. And if that's the issue on this show as well, and it has been an issue for a long time, because it's like we can't mention sex scenes without being like, this is a family show, but, you know, telling a character that you're gonna gut her like a fish is okay somehow. Makes no sense. Then Keone being considered like calling herself a goddess, I just thought was really funny. And again, another show of having another character who isn't Barry be considered super powerful and almost, if not as powerful as the Speed Force itself, which I think is ridiculous. Because like she just got here, and I feel like they're trying to set up this thing where all the team helps Barry defeat Cobalt Blue. You know, you've got Allegra, you've got Cecile, now you've got Keone, and it's just too much. Because it has undermined Barry and still does, because we know he's powerful. Like last week he did shit on his own, you know, he doesn't need a team. But I just feel like her now being a goddess and kind of like getting a pep talk from the Speed Force, it was nice that we know the full extent of her powers, but I feel like just calling her a goddess is just ridiculous to me. Barry disappearing again. I feel like we barely got him back and now he's going to be gone. And I think my biggest worry, especially with only two episodes left, is that Eddie is very much a part of both Iris and Barry's past. And I feel like we're not going to get enough of Iris reacting to Eddie or figuring stuff out with regards to Eddie and kind of like talking to him because she's in labor. So that's like a fear. But I do think like this episode, and again, it's just like a general problem with the show, it's just like pacing, because there's a lot going on and we left a lot of things for like Keone's reveal, Mark coming back, all of this in an episode where it was really supposed to be ramping up like Barry and Iris' story, Cobalt Blue's story, and we still are kind of like talking about Keone and Mark having long conversations and things like that. That's just could have happened several episodes ago. And it just all feels kind of unnecessary. And it could have been helpful too to have Cobalt Blue's story be, you know, or have been like several episodes before starting, like maybe episode 6 or 7, kind of giving us clues as to what's going to come in the future, rather than kind of like just throwing everything into the last few episodes, because it just makes everything feel rushed and the focus always gets lost a little bit. And I don't know if this is like Kristen Kim specifically, but I always feel like when an Iris episode comes around, like there's more focus on her. We also get a lot of Keone or a lot of like Panabaker's character, and I just feel like that's just frustrating at this point. especially like two episodes left of this entire series, and we could have had just more Iris in general. So that is all. for now.
What can I say? I understand that we're pairing it with the previous episode, so like that explains why there's so little Barry, but I still feel like we could have spread this storyline out more in order to balance things out more, so we aren't spending one episode of the last four with no rest of the crew, and then one episode with no Barry. So that, first off, I didn't like that. Second off, I don't think that they did not do a good job of developing what 2049 might look like. It really was 2049 with less than $5 and no dreams, because it was just one sign that says, hello, welcome to 2049. No aesthetic interest whatsoever in trying to develop this as a separate timeline or world or whatever from the present. And no investment in creating links that we would care about, right? Like, there's no character they could have shown us in 2049 that we would care about. I don't think that anyone was like, wow, Taylor with gray hair, or wow, third girl from the left in certain scenes in season one, or whatever.
I think it would have been interesting to put Allegra there with gray hair, because that would have made sense.
That would have been immediately obvious, you know.
Yeah. Or, like, why is, I feel like CC Media would have bought another building by now.
Exactly. So. It would look different, but everything looked, it's just ridiculous.
I would say that, like, going back to the photos and, like, the wedding photo is, it's lovely and reminds us of stuff, but it's both Barry and Iris's cell phone save, like, ice cream saver. It's the picture that she wants, like, if, I don't know. Like, I guess if we had leads that want to do extra stuff together, maybe we would have a wider variety of photos. We have season one photos of one friendship photo shoot they did.
Yeah.
But remember when they had the Earth 2 buried?
Yes, and they had all that stuff. A bunch of
photos for just, like, their engagement or whatever. It was hilarious.
Can we get some different photos? Like, I'm sure Iris had pictures. Yeah.
They could have photoshopped different outfits on those photos and just used them. Whatever. So, yeah. So, just, like, the effort was not there. And that was disappointing to me. I definitely, just everything about Seal annoyed the shit out of me in this episode. Why, like, who is writing her lines, and how do they not realize how dumb she sounds? She never, like, why wouldn't she have felt that Mark was a strange alien presence, right? Like, why wouldn't she have felt that, like, actually, he doesn't feel like he wants to help us? Instead, she's like, Iris, you feel stressed. Oh, no. And why don't they ever, like, so they don't ever use her powers, like, when it actually would help or do anything for the plot. Like, it should only ever matter when someone is giving you one thing and actually feeling something else. That's the only time they would be useful, but she never uses it for that, so whatever. And then I just don't care about Mark either, so I don't care that he was the person that was against them or whatever, was actually cobalting. And I really, 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 really hate them giving Caitlin Keown all of these just, like, OP powers of nonsense. I feel like they have turned me into a someone who cares about Caitlin just by completely erasing her and replacing her with a plant version of herself that has all of the powers that, you know, she never really got to use or develop. Like, why couldn't Caitlin just come out of that thing as, like, the merged personalities, and now she has ice powers plus whatever else you needed to be able to make this storyline work? It's just very weird, and I hate it. And that also reminds me, like, that's why I didn't think that it was weird that Mark was like, I guess we should just let Barry die. Because clearly this is a team that doesn't care about whether its members are alive or dead. So, anyway. What else? The problem with the... First off, I don't like how they're going about this origin story for not Eddie, or maybe he is Eddie. Like, I still feel like some force is making him believe he's Eddie, because it just doesn't make any sense. But if he is really Eddie, or if someone is trying to make him think he is, it's such a convoluted and unnecessary thing when you already have a plot in the comics that works. Or you could have taken us to, like, Nora's timeline, and Malcolm Thawne could just exist as a member of the Thawne family, who happens to look like Eddie, and also maybe he reads the diary entry from Eobard about how much he hates Barry and he also has a vendetta or whatever. Just very simple. Or, like, literally, you could be like, I am Eddie's missing twin brother, just like in the comics. And all of that would be better than, like, in the random year of 2049, this man who just, like, happens to be living in the West House or whatever, and just happens to have been, like, down the street at Mercury Labs, found papers, was struck by lightning, and then found information with Eddie Thawne, and now thinks he's Eddie Thawne and has all these memories and wants to fight. So yeah, that's and very, very lame. And also, why would you just introduce that in the last four episodes when you teased it at the end of last season? Why is it so hard to thread a storyline throughout a season? Why? Why do you have to segment things into, like, one four-episode arc and then 1,600 interludes with absolutely no connection to a greater plot? And now, four episodes that are actually just one episode. Like, nah. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know who decided that writing this way is good. But I don't like it. So yeah, I definitely could have done without this episode, minus the Iris scenes, which were great. And I guess we can now go to feedback.
Yes. So we have a longtime fan, first-time writer. This is LaTanya. Hello. She says,
hello.
Was it really too much to ask for back-to-back great episodes? While there were some good moments in this one, there were so many scenes that dragged, and I literally fell asleep a few times while watching. More of the bad, Keona and her storyline are just dull. I literally have no idea what's going on with her because I tune out, go to the bathroom, do my taxes, etc. during scenes, zero charisma. Cecile in her damn pants, all the time feeling things. And wasn't she just with Joe last episode? Why isn't he at the hospital with Iris in labor? Unacceptable, lazy writing. The time travel rules on the show don't make any sense. Oh, that is right, LaTanya, because if we're thinking that these are happening at the same time, she was at Joe's house, and now she's here.
That's right.
That is true. Time travel rules don't make any sense. Back in season 3, Barry was gone in the past for a whole 3 months in the blink of an eye. This time, he's only gone for a day, and they make it seem like he's absent in real time. The good, I really love Rick's performance. Malcolm seems genuinely bewildered at first. I like how he starts to remember who he is by focusing on Iris at the graveyard, just like Barry does repeatedly throughout the series. Woohoo! Obviously, this is building up to an Eddie, Malcolm, and Barry confrontation about Barry Sinlin's life, but I also look forward to Eddie / Malcolm Meddy confronting Iris about her choices. Did she really screw the future, or did she just accept her fate? Is Barry sloppy seconds? What if Eddie never died? Would she have chosen Barry? All good questions would be great in an episode. This tension was set up in 901 and should pay off in the end, fingers crossed. Not sure why the writers waited for Iris to give birth before this happens, but I'll go with it. Thanks for reading and for being the real MVPs of the series. Thanks, LaTanya. Next up, we have Anita. He says, hi ladies, it's so hard to believe that soon The Flash will be archived on streaming platforms, but all good things must end. Well, good doesn't necessarily reflect my thoughts about this new world story arc, but I think it's starting to come together. Honestly, I really didn't mind a story that focused on Eddie, or whatever version of Eddie this is. He was certainly handsome, supportive, his voice had more bass than Barry could dream of, even when he was going through puberty every time he time traveled. And honestly, Eddie was a character that we never explored, even in a B-plot. He was always, always secondary. So the idea that he's finding himself or the life he was supposed to have and Iris is the key is interesting. That just unlocked a memory. Wasn't there a Speed Force version of Eddie that Barry confronted in season 3 that said he was getting the life he was supposed to have? I thought there was. Do y'all remember that?
Maybe when he went into the Speed Force?
That's what
Speed
she's
Force
like.
Eddie? Oh.
Yeah, that's what she's saying, like a Speed Force version.
I that sounds I like familiar, maybe. But I don't remember what he said exactly.
Yeah.
I guess it would be either Speed Force or Blood Work, one of those.
Mm.
It was good that Allegra and Taylor tried to look after Iris and Keown tried to heal CCC media staff who came under attack, but this is a show about a great speedster and a great speedster was missing. Like if Barry had to be missing for so long, call Wally. if Wally was there, we'd know we can reach across the multiverse and we can get another speedster backup. So with that kind of power laying around, why don't we rely on Mark to waltz in and take charge? Or lean on Keown to heal people and extract the cobalt crystal? Wally could have phased in and pickpocketed that thing away. True. There were so many dislikes, but the main one was this demon possessing Mark and threatening a level of violence on Iris and unborn Nora that didn't belong on the Flash Eric. It was really a relief to see Barry again, but he was snatched away again right as Iris was about to go into active labor. I see they are refusing to shed bad ideas right up to the end. Another bad idea, still acting like Keown's friend, but concealing Mark's whereabouts for 9 months for some disloyal reason. And for all her most powerful meta on the planet myth, she didn't sense that Mark was possessed by a negative speed force and was super dangerous. All that visceral rage just went over her head. I don't know what's going on here. I just know that Iris, Barry, and whatever Eddie's problem is should be the focus for this arc. Oh boy. Thanks, Anita. Then we have KJ. KJ says, these are my thoughts on 9/11. I hope you enjoy.
Oh my God.
For one of the final episodes of the entire series, not having the titular character for 92% of the episode. This is an exact percentage, by the way. He calculated.
And we thank you. We thank you for the math.
Didn't make the most sense, even if I could appreciate the perspective of everyone else while Barry was off doing his adventures in the year 2000. Perhaps I would have enjoyed it more if I liked the other non-Iris characters. I spent too much time on characters like the apparent savior Keown instead of focusing on either Iris or the mystery that is Malcolm Eddy. If Keown can beat whichever body the negative speed force is inhabiting, what's the point of Barry fighting it? True. Good point. Her declaration of going off on her own screams spinoff, but I will not tune in if it in fact happens. That is definitely not happening. Iris going into labor right when Barry shows up was a nice moment, but of course it had to be taken away. The mystery of Malcolm Eddy is somewhat cleared up. I'm guessing he was whisked away to 2049 and brought back to life somehow. Was he there the entire 8 years, or are we joining him from when he first got there? Not sure if 2 episodes is enough time to figure that out and turn him into the series' final villain. Also, I echo the question mentioned last week. Where is Cisco?
We did get a Cisco mention, yes. Unfortunately, it was by Cecile. Yep, unfortunately by Cecile.
And then finally, we have Suara. Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I'll leave it for after. I thought we were done with feedback, and I forgot about Suara's.
We have one more. Suara says, hello, ladies. Wow, what a great set of episodes for the finale so far. Love last week's episode for all the reasons y'all stated, and overall, really enjoyed this one, with the key acceptance of Cecile's obnoxious, quote-unquote, empathy. Of course, that was extra grating for an otherwise great episode. The mystery of Malcolm Eddy is super intriguing, with him clearly being set up as the main final villain. It seems clear that Eddy was whisked into another dimension, then came back somehow. But also, was his body ever actually found in the first place to dig a grave for? That part is a discrepancy. I also wish, however, we had gotten him as the villain Cobalt Blue way sooner, and thus ramp him up for an even more riveting, compelling finale in the process. You know what? I agree with that, because I feel like he could have had Cobalt-ish things happening with Eddy doing them, and then like these episodes being the flashback of how he mm-hmm. got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Suara. It says, but I'm loving what we've got so far. Candace is acting her ass off in this extremely stressful situation, giving Iris so much of her strength and grace. And hell yes, Speed Force Nora for saving her. I will say, however, that one line of Cobalt possessing Mark saying that line to Iris was not it. There are so many other ways to be threatening to a 9-month pregnant Black woman without being so unnecessarily graphic. I understand that Eric wants to up the stakes, but this again was not it. Mark coming back was also annoying, but I took immense satisfaction in Keown dissolving him to dust. Bless. Even after he was resurrected, it was still very pleasing to watch. While the quote-unquote goddess stuff is absurd, this is the most I've ever liked her or any character played by Panabaker. It actually made a lot of sense. While Barry disappearing again is annoying AF, I still really enjoy this episode and am keenly looking forward to next week. Please keep up the momentum to the end without any more problematic story beats, please. Eric, all the best, Suara. The end.
I was just going to say, I think it's so ridiculous that Eddie even thinks that this is the life he would have had anyway.
Just look up the like family tree.
Or everybody knew like that newspaper article and like why he was kidnapped to begin with. And when he came back, he broke up with Iris. Like, you know, you should be with Barry. It's going to be so, so petty. Yeah. Anyway.
Indeed, indeed. So do we have predictions? Speaking of.
I'm wondering if, because Barry disappeared at the end of this episode, so I'm wondering if now that Eddie is, like, awake, if this is taking him to 2049, and that's where we're going to be for most, because right now, Eddie has been struck by lightning, but we don't think he knows that he has powers, because he hasn't done anything, he hasn't been activated. But we saw in the trailer that he is conversing with Barry. So obviously Barry has to travel to 2049. And that's also probably why Nora is there. Cause like, hello, this is my timeline, Dad. That's as far as I got.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I wonder if see like future Nora. I mean, not future Nora, future Iris. Because there's still, like, Eddie needs to have that confrontation. So, and our Iris is in labor. So I wonder if it'll come from future Iris.
Yeah, that would be interesting, actually. I like that. I do think it's going to be set in 2049 for the most part, but I don't want it to be, like, the whole time. Because I would like Barry to come back for, like, the actual birth of his daughter.
Maybe like, I could bring him back for her birth. Yes. It's my birthday, Dad. Yes. Let's go.
Yeah, so, you know, we want that nice happy ending before things get even probably crazier, because we still have Tom's version of Reverse Flash coming back for the actual finale, so a lot going on there. I don't know.
What's his face? Zoom, and Avatar, and all these other people. Spoilers.
Well, are they still even using Savitar, right? Or did they repurpose that scene that he was supposed to be in, probably as Savitar?
Like, that Grant said he couldn't do Savitar, right? Did he say that in an interview?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, it'll probably just be Savitar probably just won't come out of the suit, I would imagine.
Which sucks.
But
I can say I'm less excited about next week than I was about this week. I should have known that it wasn't going to be as good, but
should have known there was going to be some bullshit.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Hopefully, I mean, we'll see. But like, I would like to hope that it goes out a little bit strong in terms of like wrapping things up, because it's like the end, and that's it. Show's over. So,
well, I'm excited for Petty Eddie, because I want to see him see what he's lost and feel some kind of way about it.
Yeah, and it would be nice to have, like, some closure just for the fans who still think that she would have stayed with Eddie had he stayed alive, which I don't ever think that was going to be true, but, you know.
Yes, whatever. For all three of them. For all three of them, we're about to close the book. All right, so do we have a lady with gumption?
Iris. Like, it just is. She had the
gum, though. She can save the world.
I mean, that's true, but I don't know. Iris
I'm joking. I definitely don't want to use.
I mean, I forgot about that whole thing, so that is.
I'm gonna give it to Iris too.
Up for discussion purposes, but still. for the facade of fairness.
So Iris is.
No argument for me.
But in the end, nepotism wins, as it should. All right. Thank you all for joining us. And come see us again next week for part 3 of the same episode in the grand finale of The Flash. Catch us at DCTV Gumption on Twitter, ladieswgumption@gmail.com to send us feedback. ladieswgumption.tumblr.com to send us asks, and when we next do a Patreon, I am sure it will be Queen Charlotte.
Yes.
Thank you all, and good night.
Bye.